This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to Season 2 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big health topics into small bites. I'm Amy, and this season I'll share all the tips, tricks, and hacks you need to get healthy with an MTHFR mutation in a step-by-step, week-by-week process. I can't wait. This week, let's talk about a problem that nobody's really talking about yet, which is low histamine. So low histamine is generally not recognized as a problem within the medical community or even really in social media or anything like that. But histamine is emerging as a target in research for conditions like cancer, cardiac protection, and Alzheimer's. So I think in the next couple of decades or so, we will begin to see some talk about low histamine levels and not just high histamine. I mean, histamine, after all, is there for a reason and present in different levels in different humans. So to me, to my mind, it's equally likely that there are problems from low levels, just like there can be problems from high levels. Again, histamine is involved in so many things beyond the allergies we usually attribute to it, but also immune response, opening blood vessels or vasodilation, it's a neurotransmitter, and signaling within your stomach. Histamine levels do depend on two factors, which we talked about last week, but it helps to review. One is how much is being produced, and this depends on your gut microbiome, how easily your mast cells degranulate, your allergies, and the action of your basophils, which is part of your immune system. Also, how much histamine is being broken down. This depends on MTHFR and two histamine-specific enzymes called DAO and HNMT. Histamine does have this incredibly broad range of effects in your body. One is that it promotes wakefulness and stops you from sleeping all the time. It constricts airways, it increases stomach acid secretion, and it modulates pain signals and itch perception. And it does this via different histamine receptors. So there's H1 through H4. Histamine interconnects with MTHFR in a couple of ways. So breakdown is dependent on healthy methylation, just like other monoamine neurotransmitters. And the HNMT enzyme, which specifically breaks down histamine, also needs a methyl group from SAMe in order to work. That means if you have an overactive methylation cycle, then you break down histamine more quickly than average, and you're more likely to have a low histamine picture. Keep in mind that low histamine states are one of the characteristics of the overmethylation basic state. These are the folks I like to call the black sheep. Of course, far more than just your MTHFR status goes into your histamine levels, but it is really useful for us to know which side of the basic state picture we do fall down on, because the general patterns between over and under methylators, especially as they pertain to probable drug and supplement tolerances, are surprisingly accurate. So low histamine symptoms can include seasonal allergies that present differently. Not like the typical hay fever picture, but it could be a seasonal headache or body pain or muscle tightness or brain fog and more long-term non-specific symptoms. If your allergies don't look like that, you know, itchy, watery, eye sneezing picture, but they repeat seasonally and they don't feel better with antihistamines, you might fall into this category. I certainly do. Fatigue and lack of alertness and difficulty feeling awake in the morning. So histamine plays a big part in morning wakefulness, just like some other neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. So there could be more than one factor involved here, right? The MAOA gene SNP or the COMT gene SNP, which could lower dopamine, epinephrine, and norepinephrine, will also feel like morning fatigue or lack of alertness. But this histamine is a big part of the picture as well. And so, you know, it really helps to know your histamine status. digestive symptoms, including low stomach acid and the reflux that's caused by low stomach acid. And I know there's a lot of media attention with high stomach acid and reflux, but low stomach acid and reflux is as much of a problem because the sphincter that's supposed to keep the upper part of your stomach closed from your esophagus to prevent that stomach acid from washing up is actually dependent on stomach acid as a signal to remain closed, right? So when your stomach acid is competent, when you have good, strong stomach acid, that sphincter stays closed and nothing washes up. If you don't have strong stomach acid, then the sphincter relaxes. That muscle actually relaxes. And so we do see things washing back up. And then, of course, unfortunately, the most likely prescription that's going to be given by your doctor is something to block stomach acid production even further, which in that particular situation is counterproductive, but it does help if you have high stomach acid. High blood pressure. So low histamine states can lead to high blood pressure because of a lack of vasodilation. Also, Alzheimer's disease. So this is not actually a symptom of low histamine. There's many, many factors that go into Alzheimer's. But an interesting association has been found specifically with low brain levels of histamine and the progression of Alzheimer's. So raising brain levels of histamine actually is being explored as a new treatment strategy and a new therapeutic target for Alzheimer's disease. Also, they've found, and again, this is not particularly a symptom, but new research is showing that histamine levels rise sharply in the first moments of a heart attack, and that if they don't rise appropriately, then the level of damage that the heart sustains is likely to be worse. So there's some cardioprotective sort of element there that helps to protect the heart even in a situation of lack of oxygenation. Again, low histamine is not regarded as a problem by the medical community, but balancing histamine levels can make you feel better on a day-to-day basis, especially if you struggle with lack of alertness, high blood pressure for no clear reason, or low stomach acid and low digestive power. If you find, like I do, that you generally feel better with high histamine foods like aged cheeses, smoked meats, bone broth, and leftovers, then your histamine might be on the lower end of normal. You can try eating a higher histamine diet, right? And there's lots of people out there eating a low histamine diet to avoid further histamine, but try a high histamine diet. This includes things like alcohol. Don't overdo it there, please. That's in the name of health. That's probably not the best way to go. Fermented foods, which, you know, that's a great addition to your diet if you can tolerate them. Processed or smoked meats, aged cheeses, shellfish. Adding these things in can help you boost your histamine levels. Also, embrace your leftovers. Food that sits for a while, like leftovers or fermented foods, accumulate histamine while they sit. So if you generally have a lower histamine picture like I do, then this type of food, right, these fermented foods, these leftovers, are actually great for you. Batch cook your favorite foods and enjoy them for a few days. Exercise. So exercise has been shown to boost histamine levels, which is part of your body's mechanism to increase blood flow to the muscles and to decrease pain perception. If you tend to have low histamine symptoms, exercise can be a great way to boost your numbers. Also, boost your folate levels if you can tolerate it. So histamine increases with increasing folate. So boosting your folate levels a little bit can help to actually bolster a flagging histamine. Just don't flip over into a too high histamine picture. And interestingly, I have noticed that since working with my methylation, my seasonal allergies have changed just a little bit. I sneeze now. I never used to sneeze. I sneeze now sometimes. Thank you so much for listening today. Definitely do check out courses.tohealthwiththat.com. There's a free MTHFR basics class, but also you can sign up so you're the first to know about beta testing opportunities for the MTHFR for Life class. The beta testers will get the class at one quarter of the usual price. So, looking forward to seeing you there.